Opera is having a tough time. Last week, the president of the board of directors of the San Diego Opera resigned after an uproar over the board's vote to close the company, whose future is now uncertain. Last fall, the New York City Opera Company, announced its closing. Cleveland Opera and Opera Pacific have also brought down the final curtain. As one of our next guests asked in the Huffington Post, is opera in America circling the toilet? And mezzo-soprano Jennifer Rivera makes the case that to survive, opera companies need to pare down and focus on the music. That's what they do in a rare performance this weekend by Boston Baroque of Monteverdi's The Return of Ulysses. Early in the week, Jennifer rehearsed at Boston's Jordan Hall. Mezzo-soprano Jennifer Rivera, who plays Penelope, Portuguese tenor Fernando Guimarães plays Ulysses in his U.S. debut, and we're thrilled these 30-something rising opera stars can join us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fernando, I'll start with you, and I'm sorry to preface our conversation by telling you that this country that you are just coming to and making your debut in is somehow turning its back in some ways on opera. Sorry about that. I mean, have you heard about, you know, these questions that Jennifer and others are raising?
Yeah, I've of course heard about it and in social media a lot. And I'm really surprised, because I thought opera was quite flourishing here in America.
Well, as we're going to hear from Jennifer, it is in some places, and she actually has some thoughts about how maybe it could be more. But just to continue to introduce you to our audience, we have a little of you performing. This is Favetti's Nabucco, or Nebuchadnezzar in English. Let's listen. Jennifer Rivera, I'm loving that. What are you hearing when you hear that rich sound?
Well, I just smiled because, first of all, because it's always hard to hear yourself sing. And I was always looking at Fernando to see if he had any reaction to hear, because whenever you hear your own voice, it's always a strange feeling. But I very much enjoy hearing his voice. And we get to sing a lovely duet together, and he gets to sing right in my ear, which is a real pleasure.
Well, and he was saying, like whispering, but it's not. It's opera, so he's right in your ear.
It's a love duet, so it's not so loud. And he's a very kind tenor. He doesn't scream in my ear.
Well, we have some more from your rehearsal for this weekend's performance.
In onore de tue rai l'eternità sprezzai, volontario cangiando estate sorte.
Jennifer, in your article in the Huffington Post, you write about your husband's opera podcast and how he's had to add a new segment.
Yes, well, it's actually not new, unfortunately. This has been going on since he started the podcast about 6 years ago, but it's called The Weekly Dirge. We talk about which company has failed or has, you know, closed or shut its doors, and it seems like every month at least there's some other company, large or small. The New York City Opera was, of course, the most enormous shocker. I mean, not because there was many years of problems going on, but it was a major, major company, and now with San Diego, it's certainly alarming as an American performer, and I've performed in Europe also a lot, so I have the two to compare. You know, without government subsidies that they have in Europe, you know, we certainly struggle with finding the balance of being a nonprofit organization and finding donors who can sponsor the productions and also having artistic autonomy.
Well, hold that thought for a second, because you mentioned the state funding. Fernando, there is state funding of culture in Portugal, isn't there?
There is, we can say there is, although in recent years with this economic recession, that state funding is being severely decreased.
Can you feel that effect as an opera singer?
Absolutely. I can say I hardly ever work at Portugal right now, for instance.
Yeah.
We only have one opera theater in Lisbon, the São Carlos Theater, was almost on the verge of closing its doors completely.
Well, so Jennifer, this was something you were looking to Europe for a model, but even the European model is being dented, as we heard. But you say in your piece, it's not about having to spend a lot of money. It's about how you choose to spend the money.
That's exactly right. I mentioned in my article the fact that I was just singing in Omaha, which is not an enormous company, but which manages to produce very interesting works for $500,000, whereas the San Diego Opera, with this budget of $15 million, was saying they were having to, you know, declare bankruptcy because they couldn't possibly produce four operas on $15 million. And that's just not a model that's seeming to work anymore in this country. People have to rethink how they're spending their money.
Sure. Who needs the staircase with the, you know, they come
down? Well, the staircase is nice sometimes, but and some places still have that, and you can go to the Met, Tripolitan Opera, if you want to see the staircase.
They always have a staircase.
They always seem to have a staircase. But you don't have to have the staircase to experience unamplified singing, which is the greatness of opera.
Well, in fact, you mentioned Omaha. You write about performing in Agrippina in, as you said, Omaha, but you also did it in Berlin, which is a luxurious production. Let's just listen to a little of that. Did you feel as vital and vibrant in both?
Yes, absolutely. For me, it was as artistically fulfilling. There was a very creative young director who thought outside the box, who put a modern production on stage. And it was in Omaha, where they don't usually hear Handel operas. And the audience went crazy for it.
Yeah. Well, meantime, we were all commenting on how young you look. Well, you know, here you are just, you know, making your bones in your field. And, you know, here you are getting on the main stages as the curtains, as we said, are falling down. You're nodding.
It is interesting. I've seen the business change tremendously in the last, I've been doing this for about 15 years. And, you know, it has changed a lot in this country in terms of the opportunities available to singers. I mean, New York City Opera alone was a huge opportunity for many young singers. It's where I started out. But with all of the companies folding, there are just so many fewer jobs. But there are more singers because there's a lot of really good school programs. There's far more competition for the few opera jobs that exist.
So young people are studying opera. How do you get more of them to go to opera?
Most of all, we have to focus on education in school. You know, it all starts from our schools, actually, from the way we build up these young people to love arts, to love culture, a higher form of culture.
Fernando is exactly right in that we need more education, and in this country especially. I know because when I was a student at Juilliard, I actually taught in public schools as part of a program through Juilliard, and I was teaching 6- and 7-year-olds about opera. And the first day I went in to teach them, they were covering their ears when I was singing. By the end of the semester, they were asking me to hear the operas over and over again. Yeah. It just takes a little bit, you know?
What an image she just painted, going from hands over their ears to wanting more. That's mezzo-soprano Jennifer Rivera. We've also been speaking with Portuguese tenor Fernando Guimarães. We'll have more on their performance of Monteverdi's Return of Ulysses with the Boston Baroque at hereandnow.org. Thank you both.
Thank you for having us.